So if you'd like to be a part of the Senior Friends League, if you would like to make a difference in the lives of people, we're just talking about one particular nursing center, but all around our community, there are individuals who either have no connection to family or there is no relationship that exists back and forth. So if you are interested in finding out more information about how you could be a part of this person-to-person connection, you could stop by and see Patty or Katie, or you could stop downstairs and you could see the bulletin board that is right there by the kitchen and get more information about the way that you could express your faith through this new ministry. Well, this morning, as we share together, I hope you had a great week. Did you have a good week? Good. I hope you did. I had a great week. I was with a group of students who were really just remarkable. I had 31 students who were from all over the globe. So we had folks from Myanmar and from Korea and from Kenya and Nigeria and New Zealand and Indonesia and Singapore, and I can't even think about where they were all from. But one of the interesting things that happened as we shared the week together was that at the close of the week, yesterday, we were closing off with a time of prayer. And one of the things that they spontaneously wanted to do is they wanted to pray for you. So we had kind of a nice outpouring of prayer that was focused on you. Isn't it good when people that you don't even know care enough about you to be able to pray for you? That's a great gift. And so we had a really wonderful time of prayer together. And we're thinking together today about how we do connect our lives one to another. Last week we started a six-week sermon series. I hope you'll be here for all six sessions. I do hope you will. Because we're thinking about the future of the church. We're thinking about how we move into the future. Did you see that little image on the bulletin cover? Thanks to Ammon for creating the image. You know, it's kind of that Back to the Future image. You remember Back to the Future? Remember Michael J. Fox plugging in the flux capacitor and, you know, the DeLorean goes back into the, well, we're going forward into the future, and we're thinking about some of the ingredients in the life of the church and in our own personal lives that we really need to establish and think seriously about so that when we get to the future, we really touch the future really powerfully. So we're thinking together about how people touch the lives of other people today. Last week, we talked about spiritual formation and that spiritual formation journey for us as individuals and as a congregation, how critically important it is. We'll talk about what it means to be people who invest in small groups. We'll talk about relevant worship. We'll talk about intergenerational mission ministry. And we'll talk about strategies that will help us to develop a continual bond of trust that continues to grow so the Spirit of God can move through us. Today, though, we're thinking about how we are called to love one another. And you know, you don't have to dig very far in the Scriptures to be able to find some teaching about loving one another. If you read in Matthew chapter 5, right away it tells us that we are not only to love our neighbors as ourselves, but we're actually to love those who are unlovable, those who don't love us, love our enemies, and even pray for those who persecute us. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, it says that we are called to abound in love for one another. That abounding process is just an overwhelming kind of journey that just overflows over the edges, an abounding love for one another. Jennifer read for us from the book of Romans just a little bit ago that reminds us that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we remember the gift of the little book of 1 John. Have you read 1 John lately? If you haven't read 1 John lately, that'd be a great gift to be able to read 1 John sometime this afternoon. You could read it in just a few minutes. It just takes a few minutes. Short little book, beautiful little book, incredible teaching in there. In the book of 1 John, it says that if we love God, then God's love is perfected in us. The perfection of God's love happens within us when we love one another. When we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, Jesus is using an image, an agricultural image, the image of a vineyard, as he's beginning to teach this same principle. And he teaches it as a commandment that we are to love one another. And we're to love one another for a purpose, that the joy of God might be demonstrated in our own lives and the fulfillment of God's joy might be dwelling within our spirits. But also that we would be able to be engaged in relationship with one another, a command that we would love one another. So let's read together from the Gospel of John from chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. And my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you this command, so that you may love one another. Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful for your word. And we're grateful that your word was not just intended for those who were hearing it for that moment, but by the inspired gift of the Spirit, it comes to our hearts today, and it has eternal value. So we pray that you would teach us what it means to be people who love one another. And we thank you that you call us together on this day to be able to consider the future, to think about our lives, and to know that you have a gift of joy that you would love to plant within us. And we thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Don't you love that image? A great image, this idea of abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ is kind of an interesting thing. You know, we don't use the word abide very often. Do you use that word very often? Abide. Not necessarily a word that we use very frequently. Abide in the New Testament, you could translate it in lots of different ways. You could say it means stay, it means linger, it means remain, it means tarry. You could describe it in lots of ways, but any way that you describe it, any way you translate it, it has the same value because underneath it, in an unspoken way, there is a spirit of expectation. And the expectation is that this would not be just a suggestion that we would abide, but it would be an expected gift that we would offer to God, that we would abide in Christ. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can bear no fruit. So our task is to abide, to just remain, to be able to stay in place, to stay connected to Jesus. But when we think about abiding in Christ, when you think about abiding, and sometimes we think about it, it kind of means to stand still. Well, Jesus never did stand still, did he? He was always moving. So how do we abide with someone who is always on the move? Well, we move and we grow with them. We decide that we're going to stay in touch and we're going to stay connected, and we continue to move, we continue to grow, and we continue to flourish, and our lives continue to be fruitful. I want my life to be fruitful, and I know that all of us want our lives to be fruitful. We want our lives to make a difference. And so we think about what it means to be people who literally abide in Christ, who remain connected in Christ, so that we can produce that fruit that is lasting. And that fruit that is lasting, according to the Gospel of John, is always going to bring a joyful experience. It's that completeness of joy that comes to us when we become obedient to the commandment. It's a pretty straightforward commandment that we would love one another. And so the process of bearing fruit is always about relationships that we share with other people. Always about relationships. It's always about loving one another. It's about expressing the gift that God has planted in our lives in the context of relationship with other people. So we think about how we can do that and what the evidence of our fruitful life might really look like. Well, in the book of Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You know the fruit of the Spirit? Many of you have memorized it long ago. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Apostle Paul says, of all these things, there is no end. There is no limit to those things. Those are intended to abound. Those are intended to grow and to flourish. Our Methodist founder, John Wesley, often went back to that passage of Scripture and use that image of the fruit of the Spirit to be able to paint a really delightful and remarkable image of the Christian life. What the Christian life would look like. It would be a life of love and joy and peace and patience. It would be a life that was filled with all of those elements, but it would always be expressed in the context of relationships with one another. When we think about the way that God has loved us and the gifts that God has planted in our lives, and the opportunity that we have to be obedient to this commandment that says, love one another. It's an incredible gift, and I love it when that happens. I love it when things come together that way. You know, you think about your own life. If we're going to think about touching the future, our own life is going to be loving. If we think about a congregation life, it's going to be a life of a congregation that is reaching out and loving, always looking for the next place where that love can be demonstrated in the context of relationship. About 3 years ago, I met a young couple that began to transform my life. They were 24 years old. Met them about 3 years ago. They weren't married at the time. Now they're married. Josh and Megan Anderson. And in the process, when I first met them, I met them on a Sunday morning. And they were walking into worship, and they were a little bit late, and I was just getting ready to walk in, didn't really have time to be able to talk or to chat a little bit, but as I introduced myself and they were coming into the worship center, I learned that they were missionaries, and they had been serving in Haiti. So I was kind of interested in that, thought I'll catch up with them a little bit later, and we'll see what kind of conversation we might be able to have. Well, as the worship service unfolded, it turns out that we had a baptism scheduled, but there had been an illness in the family, and so we had to reschedule the baptism. So we had a little bit of time in the flow of the service. So the preacher side of me said, what a great opportunity to expand the sermon. You know, let's make that sermon longer and longer and longer, you know. But it turned out maybe that wasn't the best idea. Yeah. So in a moment, I thought, well, I'll just learn more about this ministry in Haiti. And so, as a surprise to them, I introduced Josh and Megan and invited them to come up and tell us some about what they were doing in Haiti. So they popped right up and they came right up front, and I handed a microphone to Megan and I asked her to tell us a little bit about the Haiti ministry. And she began to talk about a time in her life where she had gone on a mission trip. She had gone to Haiti with a part of her university. She was graduating from Tulane. And it had been just a few months earlier. So she went on this mission trip. And while she was on the mission trip, she went to the community of Gracier, which is right on the peninsula of Haiti. It kind of sticks out on the side. And while she was there, she discovered the reality of these children. Children who were 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, who were often sold into slavery from one family to another, to be lifetime servants to another family. Children who were abandoned onto the streets and then who were often gathered up by other families and would live out a lifetime of servitude to that particular family. And she couldn't believe that that was happening. So she was really captured by the experience and really fell in love with those children, but didn't know what to do. She came home from that experience, began to pray. About 2 months later, she sold everything and moved to Haiti and began to rescue children who had been taken into slavery. And one by one, she began to gather them up. Josh joined her a couple of months later, and together they began to gather a whole group of kids, and they realized first and foremost that these kids were starving. So they developed a food program for these children. And then they discovered that in addition to food, these kids didn't have any resource at all to be able to attend school. They had no educational promise at all. And so they developed a school. And here they were just a few months after, less than a year that they had been on site, and already they had responsibility for feeding over 400 children, and they had a school that was caring for 200 students. And I stood there kind of dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say. I just wanted to say, you did what? In how much time? With what resources? And then Megan said, probably the only thing that would have made sense at the moment, she said, I think it's a God thing. I think it's a God thing. And it was. And today, they have an incredible school just 3 years later, an incredible, expansive ministry, all because they responded to this core message of the gospel that says, love one another. Now, I have to tell you that I don't like using missionary kind of stories because I know that many of you are going to say, well, but that's not me. I'm not going to go to Haiti. And I say, great, don't go to Haiti, because here's the deal. We have lots of people here right close by who need to be loved. Lots of people. We have young families who are desperate for somebody to help them understand what it's like to have responsibility, lifetime responsibility for little children. We have retired folks who come in the door who are wondering if the Christian community has anything to say to them and if anybody will even speak to them because they're isolated and alone. We have parents. We have adults. We have children. We have people of all sizes and all ages and all walks of life who are wondering, does the Christian community care about me? And do they care about me without any restraint or without any expectation? Do they care about me because I'll become a new member? Or because they can reel me in and help pay the mortgage? Or do they want to be a blessing to me? The commandment that we would love one another, that we would abide in Christ, that we would bear fruit in Christ, that commandment calls us to love without expectation, without restriction. It's amazing what a little love, unconditional love, will do in the life of an individual. So when we think about the life of our church, when we think about our own individual life, we think about all the ways that we focus internally, and we think about all the needs that exist in the world, and there's something for everyone. There's a place for all of us to be reaching out and to be engaged in ministry, and it always happens in response to the love of God. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I loved you from the very first moment, and that's why your joy will be complete within you when you begin to be obedient to this commandment that you would love others. And so our response to other people is always based on the love that we have already received. So let me ask you, how has Jesus loved you? Have you known the blessing of forgiveness? Do you know the gift of salvation in your life? Do you understand the passion that God demonstrated so that you could have life, a life of grace? Out of those experiences, whether they are remarkable or small, out of those experiences will come our obedience to this command that we would love one another. Jesus didn't say, I think it'd be a good idea, or it's my number one suggestion. He said, this is my command, that you love one another. And we do it by abiding in Christ, allowing Jesus to be the vine, and we become the branches, and we bear fruit, and it is fruit that will last, and it is good. How has Jesus loved you? Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we ask that you would send us into the future and you would give us the privilege of allowing your joy to be complete in our lives by sharing our hearts with others. So we pray, Lord, that you would direct our steps, that you would teach us and lead us, and you would allow us to be shaped by the reality of your love in our hearts. And we thank you that you have come to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be able to teach us and lead us and grant us grace. So we pray, God, that you would do that and you would send us forth as individuals, as an entire congregation, to touch the world. And to do that simply because you have first loved us. Grant us that blessing to be a blessing to others. And we would thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.